Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Test the limits of too hard. This is like a slow dance song, you crazy animal.
With a lot of guitar in it.
Oh my God. Are you kidding?
A lot of guitar there.
Brian Adams is your artist of the day on this Tuesday throwback to the 80s. This one was from 1983, ladies and gentlemen. Good afternoon, my friends.
Good day.
Well, hello.
Hello, hello. Is
everybody doing all right?
Yeah.
Haven't talked to any of you yet. Well, except you, Sam. We talked for a minute.
We did.
Today is the greatest day of my life.
Whoa. Did you hit another hole in one?
No.
What happened?
I didn't play today, so
finally
that was
made your dad proud.
And stay down.
Nice one, Sam.
I get my son back tonight.
That was awesome. I thought that's what the Saturday night's party was all about.
Well, he's back tonight. I
thought he was back on Saturday.
I am tracking the airplane as we speak.
Wait a minute. I thought you said that.
No, Saturday night was for an entirely different and hilarious reason.
I am so excited.
Never mind. I just realized what I did.
Him back.
I forgot.
So excited.
I forgot.
It is actually the greatest day of my life. It has been 3 months.
He is in flight.
He is in flight. And the only thing I'll say about this is my heart goes out to everyone on Facebook. Number one, the back to school photos started today. Mm. There are a lot of firsts for everyone listening out there. The first kindergarten, first senior year day of high school.
Tomorrow for me, it's first day of freshman year at high school.
Tomorrow is first day of freshman year. So there's a lot of emotion on social media right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wallowing in my happiness that I'm getting him back. So if you are getting ready
to... How was his summer? For those who don't know, your oldest son, Jack, spent his summer in...
Telluride,
Colorado. Yeah. Beautiful pictures that he would send back.
Lots of
marijuana gummy bears, I'm sure.
No.
Okay, probably not.
He was a full-time counselor. Yeah. And
I mean, wouldn't you if you were out in Colorado?
Just
good
loved
heavens,
it.
Yes.
I
mean,
I would just be packing those things in there like
a he has accepted the job already for next summer.
Oh, really? He's going back?
He's going back.
So what was the, it wasn't an internship. This was a job, right?
It was a
right?
full-time job.
And what, he worked with special needs kids or something?
Some, and it's one of those camps where
that's so cool.
It's shut off your phone time, so mm-hmm. there are no phones. They would go up into the mountains, they would hike, they would go exploring caves, they would go mm-hmm. mountain biking and climbing, and a very active outdoor camp. Oh. And if there was a kid maybe on the autism spectrum or something like that, my son was there one-on-one. Because those kids get one-on-one ratio.
Now, is this something that he wants to do with his life?
Yeah, I can't wait to ask him that when he gets back. Because he said it was the most rewarding summer, but it was very hard work as well. But he loved it. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I don't know.
How did he get into this?
Yeah, his high school has an amazing inclusion program. So they have something called integrated sports. They have something called peer tutoring and peer modeling.
Peer modeling, yeah. Sarah did peer modeling.
Did she love it?
She went to two proms, one with her friends, and then one with this girl that she was peer grouping with. And I was so proud of her.
Yeah.
And she said she had so much. You know, they had that. It was at the what's the hotel in Overland Park?
The convention center.
The convention center hotel. It was there. And she said she had so much fun that they danced all night. And this girl that she peer groups with lives like right down the street from Shonda. And I was just so proud that she had such a big heart and would be willing to do this. And she's really gotten into it. I think she's
a lot of the high schools have these programs now.
Well, she's going to do it at KU
as
well.
Yep. A lot of the high schools have the programs. And I would urge you, if you're listening, ask your kiddo about these programs in high school, because they really are amazing, and he really enjoyed it. So for those of you getting ready to say goodbye, I hug you.
You're about to say hello.
And I'm about to say hello, and I'm so excited.
Yeah, but then he goes off to KU again next week.
Yeah, but second year, I'm not going to have the big sobbing, crying meltdown.
That scab's already been peeled off.
Scab's been peeled off. It's all good. All good.
How are you doing, Mr. Sterrett?
Oh, I'm great.
How's Black Thunder doing? Did you get that thing cleaned out last night?
No, I did not. I didn't know that I had an order to clean it out.
So last night, we're leaving the radio station, and I realize I'm parked next to Black Thunder, and I'm getting ready to drive off, and Will comes out. I see the lights blink on the car, and so I realize Will's coming out the back door or front door, wherever he came out of, and I stop the car, and I roll down the window. And I said, with a name like Black Thunder, I thought your car would be a little more intimidating.
That's the precise reason I call it Black Thunder.
And so we're talking in the parking lot, and I said, why is it called Black Thunder? Now, your car has been attacked.
Yes, quite literally attacked.
What do you mean?
There was an individual who at one time thought it was a good idea to jump up and down on the hood of my car.
Black Thunder.
Black Thunder. And also kick the passenger door panels as well.
Okay.
Oh, you caught me.
I'd gone to dinner. I accidentally tapped his mirror with my car door.
Oh.
He claimed that I had scraped up the entire side of his car, which obviously is impossible. I go inside. I come back to discover that, that had happened.
Wow.
Like he had bounced up and down on your car.
Oh, yeah. And actually, I knocked a good percentage of the dents out, and it still looks like a crushed pop can. I mean, this car is...
Did you file a police report?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
You kind of have to
at that point.
Did
he ever get arrested?
To the best of my knowledge, no.
Really?
I'm not aware of any such thing taking place.
So I have a question today. You don't even know about this, Scott.
By the way, can I interrupt you before you offer your question? It reminds me of the first show that we ever did 13 years ago. The first show that we ever did, it was Shannon and Parks back then, was Do You Have a Name for Your Car? Do you know that 60% of Americans
have a name for their car?
Well, this was 13 years ago. I'm assuming it's the same today. 60% of Americans have a name for their car.
I don't doubt that at all. Actually, that number seems low to me.
I do not have a name for my car.
Was, I don't
either. Was the person who did that to your car ever charged? Well,
to the best of my knowledge, no.
You said no.
Yeah,
no.
He said no.
Huh.
Sam, do you have a name for your car?
I do, yes.
What is it?
The Brown Beast.
Why has it always got to be racial, guys?
It's the color of it. It's brown.
Yeah, mine is black.
And it's a beast.
Aside from that rust spot from where some hooligans hit it with a BB.
Black Thunder.
Your car has been attacked in many scenarios.
My car has seen a lot of things. It's been a lot of places.
Maybe it's not the car. Maybe it's you.
No.
Oh.
Never for a second.
Because you're so nice?
Yeah.
Oh. You don't have a name for your car?
No.
My first car was named Haley because it had hail damage.
Aw.
No.
It's kind of cute. Sort of weird, but kind of cute.
60% of Americans name their cars.
So it's interesting that Will Sterrett mentioned hooligans. I want to talk about that for a little bit this hour when we come back. There was one of those e-neighbors notifications that went around today. And usually I roll my eyes at those notifications. It's usually like, does anyone know a plumber? But have you ever had someone in your neighborhood wreaking havoc in the neighborhood? And you always say, Scott, there's nothing authorities can do before something happens. Like, you're kind of all just waiting around for something to happen.
Kind of, but
the one problem house.
But yeah, law enforcement, by definition, is reactive, not proactive. They can try to be proactive, but by and large, just the name itself, law enforcement. We have to enforce the law, which means you have to break it before we can enforce it. So, yes, law enforcement is primarily reactive.
So twice in the last few years, and I'd love to hear from anyone else who has had this happen, a younger relative of an older homeowner has moved in. If you know what I mean.
A younger relative of an older homeowner has moved in.
And you know, in Florida, they have rules against this.
In my mother's neighborhood, you can't move in.
In Florida, you're not allowed to bring, you know, the 22-year-old vagrant stepson into your house.
Failure to launch.
I think it's constitutionally, maybe it's never been challenged. I think it's unconstitutional.
Well, someone today on this e-neighbor site said they've got to get him out. If you have a relative of an older homeowner move into your neighborhood and start causing all kinds of problems in the neighborhood, you can't just, quote, get them out.
Like my aunt's neighborhood in Sun City, Arizona, they live in these Del Webb neighborhoods. I don't know if you guys have heard of him. He's a super famous developer. In a Del Webb neighborhood, you have to be 55 years of age or older to live in his subdivisions, and you cannot have people move. You can have
Correct.
People visit.
You can have them visit for like a week.
For a week, but you cannot have people move in who are under the age of 55. Everybody rides around in golf carts. I swear to God.
Yeah.
There's an entire city that's done that way.
Yeah, it's called Sun City, Arizona.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Peachtree City, Georgia, same way.
Yeah. My aunt lives in Sun City,
I'm
Arizona.
I'm telling you, if you live in Kansas City and a problem relative, much younger relative, moves in on your street, there is nothing you can do.
576-7798. 576-7798. Talk about the shooting that occurred today at the Legends. Yes, we will get to that at some point this afternoon.
So I'm curious if anyone has ever had this happen, because it's going on with a friend of mine where a younger relative, whether that's, you know, a 20-something-year-old adultish son or a grandchild, has moved into the neighborhood, into one of your neighbor's homes, a grandparent, a parent. And since this has happened, there have been nothing but problems. Ton of police activity, a lot of cars coming and going.
In your friend's neighborhood?
If you know what I mean.
Oh.
And someone wrote on the Nextdoor app today, somebody has to do something. He's got to go. Well, you can't legislate who gets to live in someone's family home.
That's right.
Until you are, you know, renting out maybe to 26 people. There's no ordinance that will remove a problem tenant relative from a house.
When they say he's got to go, who's going to make him go?
Who's going? And where are they going? And who's going to make him go?
You don't get to go up to the door and go,
right,
we think that your grandson is the root of a lot of our problems. He has to go. Well, you can sit on this,
right,
because this is my house.
So, you know, a lot of petty crime, but also a lot of just troubling incidents in a neighborhood where there just isn't a lot of that stuff going on.
So what is your friend going to do about
there's,
it?
What are you going to do? I mean, nothing? There people are freaked out, and I don't think there's anything that can be done. You know this, Scott. You almost have to wait for something to be done. You have to wait for something to happen, and that's not good either.
576-7798, if you guys want to weigh in. Let's go to Dawn in Kansas City. Dawn, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you for asking.
Good. Glad you guys have brought this conversation up. My neighborhood, nice neighborhood, excellent location, elderly couple, 50-year-old son, in and out of prison. He goes to prison.
Yep.
Neighborhood's fine. Gets out of prison. neighborhoods in shenanigans. We call the police, but, and I am not knocking the police. I love the police. Very thankful for them. But the neighborhood just west of me is inundated with crime, drive-by shootings, gunshots all night long. The police can't get to my area. So when we call for gunshots, any emergency, I had emergency the other night, Kansas City never showed up. Well, I'm on a fine line. Kansas City, Lee Summit, Kansas City, Raytown. Lee Summit can't come, Raytown can't come, and Kansas City can't come. It's very frustrating.
But something has to happen for them to come.
And but exactly, something, a death. I mean, you have to witness a murder. If you think there's been something like that, they can't get down there. If you know somebody's died, they'll get there. But I'm on hold 20 minutes when I call 911. Again, not blaming the police department. I'm blaming, I don't know what I'm blaming. The laws, maybe the mayor's office. You know, we need more police.
But what is it, Don, what is it specifically that's happening?
Well, lots of things. We've had a barn that has been busted several occasions for stolen goods, drugs. With stolen goods and drugs, that's not a violent crime, so it's very low on the list. But with that is funded sex trafficking and drug trafficking. We have stolen cars being dumped left and right constantly.
Where did you draw a connection between a barn being broken into and
a barn is storing stolen goods.
And sex trafficking. That's where you just lost me.
I understand that. And when people say that, they look at me like I'm crazy. But I watch the news 6 miles from my house. A hotel is broken, investigated for sex trafficking. They saved 19 victims. That's 6 miles from me. It's a nonviolent crime on the streets, but the stealing, the car theft, they're stealing cars. They run them, all night long. They dump them in my neighborhood.
Well, and I'll tell you this, Don, and I'm sorry that that's happening in your neighborhood. If it's stolen cars and that type of stuff, and you know this, Scott, Kansas City police have a lot on their plate right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had an 8-year-old boy shot and killed while he was sleeping in his own bed. I'm not saying stolen cars isn't bad. I just think it's so far down on their priority list, and it should be with all of the problems they have.
Agreed.
That's probably why it's allowed to continue.
Telephone number here is 576-7798, 576-7798.
I'm a man without conviction.
That's weird because I left my house at 8:30. Man, I am steaming. Trash company didn't pick up my trash today, but they picked up both of my neighbors.
Seriously?
Yes. So I called them,
mm-hmm.
WCA, used to be Town and Country, and I said, hey, I wasn't mad. I was very polite. And I said, hey, I was just curious as to why my trash wasn't picked up this morning when Sue and Jeremy both had their trash picked up, because I checked and looked in theirs, and theirs was empty. Mine was not. And I just got a call back that said that the reason my trash wasn't picked up was because I didn't have it out by 10 o'clock this morning. The hell I didn't. I put it out last night like I do on every Monday night when I get home from work. And I had left my house at 8:30 this morning to go meet with a friend. Mm-hmm. So tell me how I was miraculously unable to get my trash out to the curb by 10 o'clock when it was out when I left at 8:30.
Are they going to come get it now?
No. I guess I have to wait till next week.
Wow. You're a lot more understanding of those types of issues than I am.
You know what I ought to do is drive it over to WCA and dump it on their front lawn.
I have done such a thing before.
Oh, that's not okay. Anyway. Oh, it's Tuesday.
Oh.
It is Tuesday.
And?
You know what happens on Tuesdays.
Ew.
Little bad jokes, huh?
Oh, listeners with material.
Terrible Joke Tuesday is going to have to occur this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
What time are we going to do that, girls and boys?
3:45.
3:45 is
now
usual.
Listen, last week, someone wrote in and said, we need to do your mama jokes because someone dropped a bomb of a joke on Scott Parks's mama.
Yeah, that was good.
And we were going to do Mama Joke Monday, but maybe we could do Terrible Joke Tuesday, but you can also throw in some your mama jokes.
Now, in fairness, my mother, who is a saint.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, it was funny.
But you've met my mother many times.
Yes.
Is my mother a saint or is she not a saint?
She is a saint.
Okay. Gold-plated room in heaven kind of woman, right?
She is a saint.
Although I will tell you that whoever dropped that joke was pretty solid. They said, Scott, your mom has tried more men than Judge Wapner.
Boom.
Now, that's a horrible joke, but it is funny.
That's an outstanding joke.
It's inaccurate, but it is funny.
So if you want to throw in some mama jokes within the boundary of the Terrible Joke Tuesday rules, we will consider those as well.
Your mama's so fat, I walked around her and got lost.
Oh, my goodness.
Kicking it off early, I can see.
Well, no, I'm just giving everybody an example for what we're going to do in about an hour.
He's the warm-up act.
Yeah. So we're going to do Terrible Joke Tuesday at 3:45.
Okay.
Are we making it exclusive Yo Mama jokes?
I feel like we should.
Special edition Terrible Joke Tuesday.
Or should
Tuesday.
We do Your Mama and Chuck Norris in case there's not enough Yo Mama material?
There's enough Yo Mama material.
And you can't say your mom or your mama. It's Yo Mama.
Yo Mama.
Your mother?
No. No.
Do you have any idea how ridiculous I'm going to sound saying Yo Mama while reading the jokes? Or is that part of the amusement here?
You have to say Yo Mama.
Can we get Bill Grady to read some of the Yo Mama jokes? Because that would accentuate it even further.
I completely agree. If he would do it, that would be hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, anything that Bill Grady says sounds better than the average person saying it.
Right.
And that would include Your Mama jokes.
Yo Mama jokes.
Yo Mama.
Okay, do we want to play any other games today, or is that enough?
Well, Family Feud?
Sure.
One of these days, I'm going to win a round again.
Yeah, we'll need some redemption.
I got close. Got close last time.
Later this week, though, we've got to do... oh, my God.
Hummers?
Sniff That Jock?
No, we're not doing Sniff That Jock.
What was that game that used to come up where you would just read the lyrics... And Dana had to name the song.
Oh, it was...
It's Finish the Lyric.
Finish the Lyric. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Where did I... It's in a box somewhere.
That one just kind of...
It's right back there.
Is it really?
Kind of went into the ether.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll do Finish the Lyric.
All right, and then do we want to do Mixtape later this week or Jam or No Jam?
You'll never hear me vote against Mixtape. I do love me some Mixtape.
I do love me some Jam or No Jam.
Okay.
I'll put that one to the audience. We'll do that one on Thursday. So today we'll do Family... We're going to do... Terrible Joke Tuesday at 3:45. It has to be a Yo Mama joke. And then we'll do some Family Feud later on this afternoon, maybe 4 o'clock or so. And then I'll let the audience decide on Thursday, do you want Mixtape or do you want Jam or No Jam?
From the text line, hey, enough jokes and current events. Did everyone forget that God talks to Parks? When are we unpeeling that onion?
No. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Thank you, text line.
Maybe we save that little gem for 4 o'clock.
Well,
that's a big onion, by the way, not a little onion.
That's like a blooming onion with another onion on the side.
Why do we have to wait that long? That's my question. Why are we waiting around until 4 o'clock?
I brought it up at the end.
Literally at 5:55 yesterday, you said, by the way, God spoke to me.
Well, he didn't speak. Like, I didn't hear a voice. I was given a message.
But you have to explain this to me. Because I think a lot of people listening have had these things happen, and then the other half of people are like, this is malarkey. So
yeah, that's what I was afraid people would say to me.
Right.
I know what I heard.
But how did you hear it if nothing was said?
It wasn't a voice. It wasn't like Bill Grady going,
hello,
this is God. That part you're not doing enough.
I still contend that...
Sam, why don't you let your testicles descend and then try to be Bill Grady?
My apologies. I'll get back to you.
I still contend that the notion of God having that kind of voice, we've gone so far in that direction that when God actually opens his mouth, he's going to have like a really timid, squeaky voice. Just the exact opposite of what we've just presumed.
Like Wyatt in Weird Science?
Something like that.
It was a message that I received. Do you want me to tell the story
yes,
again?
Yes, Scott, I'm not going to sit here and laugh. There are a lot of people who believe that they have had these things happen, and I believe that you believe this happened.
Yeah, but I don't think you believe that it really happened. I think, and that's okay. That's all right, because
I think weird things happen. Like, sometimes children will say things and draw things.
Fine, I'll tell the story again, okay? Here it is. And the reason I didn't bring it up last night, I didn't want to get into a big religious conversation. I didn't want people saying, you're mentally unstable. I know what I heard, and nobody can talk me out of it. Here's what happened. We were in the Dominican Republic. It was 7-ish in the morning, and I had woken up before everybody else.
Okay.
I made myself a cup of coffee in the room, okay? And I went out and sat on the balcony. I'm sitting on the balcony. I'm not looking for anything other than palm trees. I'm not looking for a sign. I'm not praying to God. Okay. I'm not doing nothing, okay? I'm sitting there. I probably have been out on the balcony for about 10 minutes. And I stand up, and I put my arms on the railing. And I'm just kind of looking at the ladies coming into work that morning.
Yeah.
And people, because we had a little road down below our room where the workers would come in, whatever. Out of nowhere, I am overwhelmed with this. It wasn't a voice. I can't describe it. And it simply said to me, you're not doing enough. And I was blown away. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, did I just hear that? Or is this a joke? Am I, you know, I'm sober as sober can be.
Have you been feeling like you are not doing enough?
No, I actually thought I'd been doing pretty good with my life. And I just, all I heard, and it was not a voice, so that I know that kind of is a contradiction in terms. I hear, you're not doing enough. I'm overwhelmed. I sit back down. I take a sip of coffee. And I say out loud, but quietly, what do you mean? What am I not doing? And then the same sensation comes over me, and it simply said, wait. And I'm like, okay. All right. God, is this a message? I'm 48 years old. You sure did take a long time. I sit there and I mind my own business.
Yeah.
About 10 minutes later, Kelly comes out with a cup of coffee. She had just woken up, and she sits down, and I said, honey, you're going to think I'm crazy, but I have to tell you something. She says, okay, what's going on? And I said, I told her the story that I just told you. She puts down her cup of coffee, looks me dead in the eye, and says, I got the same message. And I looked at her and I go, well, I said a word I can't say on the air that starts with bull. And she goes, no, I got the same message.
Bull butter.
I don't know what it means. I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Look busy.
Apparently I'm not doing enough.
Look busy.
So anyway, I'm not trying to turn this into a religious conversation. And if you believe in God, great. If you don't believe in God, I'm not here to convince you. It's none of my business. What I know is what I know. I know what I felt. I know it was real. God has never spoken to me before.
Now, he told you, wait. Have you had any further instruction?
No. And it's been 3 weeks. I think it has something to do, I think I'm supposed to do something volunteer related in the Dominican Republic, but I don't know why I think that. Like, go down there and not sit on a beach, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So. Somebody says, Parks, pay off my student loans. God.
Okay, that's funny.
Is that you?
Parks, take out your trash.
Before 10 a.m.
Before 10. Then WCA will pick it up. Anyway, that is what happened. And I would have thought I was crazy if Kelly had not looked at me and said, I got the same message. That's when I knew, okay, this is not fake. There's something going on. I have to do something. I don't know what it is. I don't know.
I am genuinely happy for you that you have had that kind of experience, because there are people who want that to happen that never get that message.
That's why I'd like to talk to you about Jesus.
All right. Okay. Everybody's got a hungry heart. You guys are so funny, man. From the text line, this is not one of the funny ones. It's just nice and sweet. Scott, thank you for sharing your story. I agree with Will Starrett. There are so many people who want an experience like that, and your story gives hope to all of us. Okay. Now, keep in mind what I heard, and Kelly had just wrote me. She goes, oh, it was an overwhelming feeling. It was real. Okay. So this is two people saying they got the same. It was literally almost like Field of Dreams, where she's halfway up the stairs and she turns around. She goes, I had the same dream last night. That's almost what it was like. Anyway, Scott, this is Jesus. Wear underpants. Seriously? Scott, when you heard somebody say you're not doing enough, what you were really hearing were two people fooling around on the balcony below.
But this is why.
That's a good one.
She was unenthused.
Unimpressed.
She was not impressed.
No.
This is
you're
why,
not
though.
Doing enough.
And Scott, I will hand it to you because you share a lot on the program, as we all do. I will hand it to you for tossing this out there because, you know, people are in one of two camps. This happened to my mom. This happened to my grandma. I believe you. That's camp A. Or camp B, you've lost your mind. And so mm-hmm. it's hard to talk about these things because, you know, it's either one or the other.
Yeah. I mean, you either believe me or you don't. I know what I experienced. There is no denying it. I wouldn't share this with tens of thousands of people. I'm not here to make an idiot out of myself. I do that voluntarily. I'm not here to make people go, oh my God, he really is crazy. That's not my intent. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't share it.
All right, listen to this. Hearing a voice when alone.
I wasn't hearing a voice.
Just
it's
listen.
Not a voice.
Hearing a voice when alone or seeing something no one else can see is actually pretty common. At least 1 in 10 people will say they have had such an experience if you ask them bluntly. About 4 in 10 say they have unusual perceptual experiences between sleep and awareness. It is not that uncommon.
What I'm telling you is this. When people say God spoke to me or I heard from God or God called me, it's not a voice. But it's not a feeling either. I can't describe it. I shared it at the end of last night's show because I didn't want everybody to think I was nuts.
So you gave him all night to sit and meditate about how nuts you are.
You don't believe me.
No, I totally believe you. I'm just saying your tactical decision may have
so,
backfired.
There's a book called Hallucinations, and the noted neurologist,
it wasn't a hallucination,
Oliver Sacks, tells his own story about an experience that changed his life.
then why did Kelly have the same message?
And at the same place, correct?
Same place, same time.
Now, was she in? You were outside. She was inside.
I was on the balcony. She was in the bedroom.
All right.
Often when voices are discussed in or around the kitchen table, or certainly in the media, they are treated unequivocally as symptoms of madness. Mm-hmm. And of course, voice hearing can be associated with psychiatric illness, but not all of the time. In fact, not most of the time. A third of the people this guy interviewed for this article, at a church where he did his research, reported an unusual sensory experience that they associated with a higher being. While they found the experience startling, they also found them deeply reassuring.
Now, here's one. I know we got to get to the news. Here's one thing. I'm going to go ahead and just cut this horse off at the pass. Several people are going to say, I'm sure of it, Scott, when people who were heavy drinkers stop drinking, they sometimes will hallucinate. It's not unheard of that people who just stop start having hallucinations. That's fine. I can entertain that argument. Kelly does not drink.
Yeah.
Ever.
And how long has it been since you had a drink?
It's been a while.
Because isn't it normally like right after you stop that that happens?
Yeah. You either have a seizure or you hallucinate or you just start having delirium.
So, someone wrote in, my niece used to talk to my grandmother and she was two. My grandmother had passed away 2 months earlier and my niece didn't even know what death is and it happened more than once. Those are the stories that make you wonder. When I hear about, and this has been written about a lot, the children who have these types of experiences, that does make you wonder. A two-year-old does not have it within their capacity to lie or make up,
right,
you know,
right,
things about...
I'm not lying.
I know. And I know.
And I know what I experienced. And the fact that Kelly had the exact same message tells me I'm not crazy. I love you both.
We love you back.
We're going to do Terrible Joke Tuesday at 3:45. It's 15:45 military time.
I also love you, Scott.
I thought it was 15:45.
That's what I said, 15:45.
You said 3:45.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.